Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil! Arsenal are walking in a winter wonderland! What a turnaround! He's come up with it! The scorpion touch, Olivier Giroud! When you saw Mkhitaryan do it, you say we'd never see it again!
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Canon Crested Arsenal podcast. I'm giving up on trying to remember the last time we recorded because I can't remember, and to be honest, I can't be bothered to go and check what the last recorded was. I think it was sometime at the beginning of the season or something. And life is so different now from that time. So I hope you're physically well, because I can. If you're listening to this podcast, the only reason why you'd have come here is because you're an Arsenal fan, and there is no way that you're psychologically in a good place right now. So, except you don't love the club, and I'm sure you do. That's why you even bother to listen. So it's crazy. But physically, I hope you're well. I hope your family is well as well. And I hope everything around you else is going great as we go into the holiday season. So, hi, my name is Simon, and welcome to the Canon Crested Arsenal podcast. I'm not here alone. I'm here with my friends and fellow Arsenal fans and regular contributors to the podcast. Ima Wachuku. Hi, Ima. How are you?
I'm alive.
Okay, usually you need to help the person who's anchoring the podcast by saying something longer than hi, so we can make it like we're having a conversation, but you're hi.
Okay, hi, good morning. It's finally great to be back on the podcast. I've missed doing this.
Yeah,
I cannot pretend that I'm so happy to be here today. Because yeah. I absolutely am not happy, but it's nice to be home with friends and colleagues and whatever as we discuss. The one thing we share in common with Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, I remember on the last podcast I asked you if you were sleeping well, because of your numerous WhatsApp status messages. Right now, I don't need to ask that question anymore because I'm 100% sure you're not sleeping well, as if you didn't have enough problems of your own. How are you sleeping now, Ima? How are you sleeping better?
You knew the answer, so let's move on.
Okay. At Mohammed Amali, if anybody deserves not to get any sleep, is you. How are you, Mo?
I'm fine, Ima. I'm fine, I'm Simon. Everything is cool. Bad times, but bitter before sweet. We'll get there. I'm optimistic. We'll ride the storm.
Bitter before sweet. What's your definition of sweet?
Well, what every Arsenal fan wants, you know, from the club, you know, success and good football, peace and less rancor, and we'll get there. We just need to ride this storm, and it's a phase. It's a phase, and we just have to be patient.
Do you know the thing about Nollywood movies that I don't like a lot? Back in the day, Nollywood movies, not this one. It's the one where you see, I've forgotten his name, but the guy that was in Rattlesnake. There's a 2 hours Nollywood movie. The guy suffers for 1 hour, 59 minutes. And in the last minute, some Holy Ghost appears and then changes everything. And then it's to God be the glory. Then you enjoy the movie. You see the guy enjoy for like 1 minute and then it's to God be the glory. So when you say bittersweet, like how long do you expect this bitter to last? And then we forget what sweet really is. Because now, if you want to enjoy Arsenal, you always have to think of like way back. How long is it going to take before anybody can sustain this bitterness? Forget what it really takes to be sweet. Anyways.
We'll find out in the pod.
We'll find out in the pod, yeah. So we also have Mastermind here. Hi, Mastermind. How are you? Ade Damola, how are you?
I'm good. Okay. Sad. Yeah. It's very strange to be recording Arsenal content because I no longer read or listen to Arsenal content. Simon, let me tell you how bad it is. You know how much I like Le Grove. You know how much I love Le Grove.
Yeah.
I haven't been at Le Grove in maybe 6 weeks. Because it's just sad. It's like a funeral. There's no point. So yeah, so it's very strange to be recording Arsenal content when I'm not, when I'm staying actively staying away from Arsenal content.
The Groove, I know, was one of the biggest pro Arteta people on the internet. I don't read Le Groove, I've never read him, but I follow him on Twitter, so I get snippets of what his conversations are around. And he was a big Arteta advocate. I'm sure content on his blog now is going to be really, really disappointing. It's going to be a lot worse. Le Groove was bad when he didn't like Wenger. Now he's someone he likes. I wonder how he's going to be writing about it. But anyways.
It's changed because I'm in the same shoes as he is. I stopped liking Wenger in 2012. I never liked Emery, but I always wanted Arteta. I wanted Arteta since the day Wenger was sacked. A friend asked me on the day Wenger was sacked, who do you want? And I said Arteta. He said, you're a madman. And now they remind me that this is what you wanted, right? This is the coach you risked your ancestors for. But it's okay. We'll get there or he'll get fired.
And I get the bit about Arsenal content as well, because personally, that's one of the reasons why I haven't recorded or gotten guys together to, one of the reasons actually, you guys know the other reason, gotten guys together to record a podcast, because a lot of my day is filled with football content generally. So, I record the podcast. Obviously, I listen to the podcast I record. And then my whole week, I listen to Guardian's podcast. I listen to Asbog's podcast. I listen to the Tuesday Club. I listen to all the athletic podcasts that are Arsenal related and non-Tifo football. Because when I'm working, right, I do data analysis. And when I'm working, I want to my mind somewhere else. So all through my working day, I listen to volumes of podcasts. So imagine having like an 8-week period where I listen to Arsenal Vision, where you're constantly filling your head with all the issues that are around your club, nothing to enjoy from what everybody is saying. It's crazy, it's depressing, and I just switched off. So now, like we were saying before the whole pod, it's like I watch, and I was even telling my wife the same thing, like I feel obligated to watch the games rather than going to a game to enjoy. That's why I tweeted the Arsene Wenger quote earlier in the week where he said, what's the exact tweet?
I want to make sure you enjoy your Saturdays and Wednesdays, something like that.
Exactly, yes. Because when we were playing last week Sunday, I tweeted it on a Sunday, when we were playing last week Sunday, I didn't remember Arsenal had a game until sometime like the 11 o'clock at work, because I work on Sundays. And I'm like, oh my, and I go, instead of being elated that I'm going to watch an Arsenal game at the end of the day, it was like, oh my God. And then we lost. And I'm like, you see, that's validation of how I felt in the morning. So it's crazy, like, you supported the club for this long. And basically, the way you want to support a club is to enjoy what they do, go through the whole emotions with them. And then you have just one emotion, which is pain. And you're watching the game, you're looking at Twitter, is constantly negative. And then the whole experience that you have built around this club is one that isn't negative. It's one that is always, you always want to be supportive. But you can't find anything to support. So that is taken away from you, and you're continually consuming content that makes you sad, and then the football itself makes you sad, then what's the whole fucking point? Anyways, that's where I am with Arsenal. I'm sure you guys will give more analytical opinions on this, but generally, and I am at that point now. So let's just get on it. I put a tweet out when we won the FA Cup, and I think that's a good place for us to start. Again, anybody who's listening to the pod, welcome again. This is one of the, like, usually before I record a podcast, I try to take notes, try to do some research, but this is like going to be one of the most freestyle, unresearched pods that we're going to do, because any data that I bring up, any data that I intend to bring up, you most likely won, is just assume the worst. So there's no need rehashing it. So there's no point. We're just going to talk about it. But I tweeted this on the 29th of August. And I think it was around the time we won the FA Cup. This was the tweet. The question 8 months ago was if Arsenal were an ambitious club for appointing Arteta. Today, the question is, can Arsenal match Arteta's ambitions? That was what I tweeted 29th of August. It's 20th of December, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
When are you going to delete the tweet? That's the first question.
Ima, how wrong have I been? Or Is this a process?
I didn't hear that again.
Oh, okay. Let me read the tweet again. This is the tweet that I put out on the 29th of August. The question 8 months ago, that was obviously 8 months ago, was December last year, which when Arteta was appointed. So the tweet reads, the question 8 months ago was if Arsenal were an ambitious club for appointing Arteta. Today, the question is, can Arsenal match Arteta's ambitions? That was my tweet on the 29th of August. So the question to you is, how wrong was I when I put that tweet out?
I don't think you're wrong. I don't. Wow. I really don't think you're wrong. Okay, and I explain how.
Okay.
So I read an interview. I've probably read all of Arteta's interviews, but one that really comes to mind for this question is when he, I don't know which journalist was asking a question, which was, I think, probably one of the best questions to see journalists ask these days, basically about tactics and formation and the rest of them. And Arteta did say that his idea or his vision, his way of playing was a 4-3-3 formation. And the question was, why are you not playing the 4-3-3? Why are you playing the 3-5, the 3-4-3 formation? And then he said that with the 4-3-3 formation, the Arsenal had a minimum of 6 positions that didn't have players who could play in that role. So and then he went on the PR lane of trying to say the long-term project, the support from blah, 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 which I totally understand. Now, bottom line was that simple line told me clearly. Now, when a new manager comes in and then it's probably that there are 6 positions in 11 that needs total replacement, 6 of 11, that's about 70%, that needs total replacement, then that thing is dead on arrival. So, is Arsenal matching its ambition? I really don't think. When he said that he wanted to win the Champions League in 3 years, I was one of those who giggled. I didn't laugh, I giggled. Like, you want to win Champions League in 3 years in this Arsenal, understand, Kroenke, good luck with that. Like good luck with that. We will get into that so much in the, I hope we'll get that so much in the pod. But there is nothing, I'd say there is nothing in this office, and this has, I've been saying this since 2006, 2007. There's nothing in this Arsenal setup that gives me confidence that they are remotely interested in competing for the Premier League, let alone the Champions League. So if you have a manager that wants to win the Champions League in 3 years of his employment, I'm not sure he's at the right place. There's nothing. I have not seen anything from this entity called Arsenal, its owners, the board, that gives me the slightest confidence that they have an ambition, let alone one they are willing to match.
Okay. Oh, okay. I hear you, Imabo. Again. Let me just get a take from everybody before I come back to the point that you're making. Mo, what's your point? What's your take on that tweet that I put out? How long was I?
Well, I don't think you were wrong. Yeah, like you might say, I don't think you were wrong. Whether Arsenal could match Arteta's ambitions. Well, you see, this is why the other day I was talking about what Arsenal needs. And yes, we need a fix. But what Arsenal fans should know is that we will never get a quick fix. And what I mean by we'll never get a quick fix is we always need 5-6 players and we end up buying 2. So it's going to take time for us to get where we want to get to. And if we have a manager who is ready to ride through and be patient enough, Chelsea went and bought almost a new squad. They bought a new spine totally. We can't do that. So we have bought Partey, we've bought Gabriel. Look how two of them have I mean, the two games or three games Partey played, he was like, he was taken to the Premiership like duck to water. Gabriel as well has come in and has seamlessly slotted in. If we could buy five, six players, if we could buy five Partey's or Gabriel's in positions of need, this team would not be where they are today, where we are today. So that's why I say we cannot get a quick fix. So back to your question, whether Arsenal can match Arteta's ambitions, I don't think you were right, because like you must say, this club is not going to match any manager's ambitions, especially in the short term. And this is why I've been preaching patience for Arteta, because any manager that comes into this team is going to face the same things Arteta is facing today. Arteta said when he came with Man City and they beat Arsenal last year, I think it was around this period last year, where they beat us with those Kevin De Bruyne, that masterclass from Kevin De Bruyne. And he said the mood in the stadium was so bad. You know, he felt, Arteta said he felt bad looking at how defeated the fans felt. The home atmosphere was terrible. I'm sure now he's looking back and thinking, oh, wow, this was not Emery's fault after all. Because he is lucky fans are not in the stadium today, Arteta. He is lucky we don't have fans in the stadium, because I think it would have been worse than when Emery was standing alone in the dugout and it was looking like he was standing alone against the whole world. Arteta would have been in a worse place than he was with Emery. So I'm sure he's looking at and say, oh, wow, this is not Emery's fault after all. These players, the players we have in that team, people keep accusing me of saying, no, I'm saying we should change the whole squad before Arteta can succeed. No. God so kind, I have tweets where I tweeted that these players need to go. Most of them need to go, even before Arteta came on board. So it's not about my love for Arteta here. So back to your question, whether they can match Arteta's ambitions. Yes, they can, but not in the short term. It's going to be a long-term thing. We have bought Gabriel and Partey. I consider those two buys as the best buys we've had under the Arteta reign. We might add another two in the next window or in the summer. It's going to take time. But yes, the club can match Arteta's ambitions in the long term, not in the short term. Hence my preach for patience all the time.
Oh, okay. Mo, you do have a reputation of being a very patient person, actually, with when there's failure. So I don't know. Sometimes I struggle whether your idea of patience is accommodating failure until it kills you. But... we'll come to that again later. Damola, so that we don't overstretch the point, I'm just going to come to you with a question on the back of what Mo says about personnel. And Ima also alluded to it about the Kroenkes not supporting the manager as much as possible. But Damola, the question I'm coming to you now is, we're currently 15th on the Premier League table. I have this BI thing on my system. I'm refreshing to see the data points. We are currently 15th. We have played 14 games. We have managed to win just 4. We have drawn 2 games and we have lost 8. We have 14 points in the league. We have scored 12 and we have conceded 18. We have a goal difference of -6. Based on the data I'm looking at, I'm sure it's worse. I just have this whole BI thing. We haven't won in our last 5 games. If you remove the goals that we scored from the... yesterday, we had to rely on a penalty to get a goal. Aubameyang had scored one the last time, and then before we scored, that was another penalty at United. How much of our problem as a club today is based on personnel that is available to Arteta to select from, or coaching that Arteta is giving to the players that he currently has? What percentage do you give to those problems, and how much of it? Just let me hear your opinion on it.
Okay, so the first thing I will say is that I don't know how many people listen to this podcast, watch the NBA, but a lot of time when you have a very lopsided squad, mm-hmm. They don't blame the manager. They blame the back office. The GM takes the fall for it.
Yeah.
Since I've been watching Arsenal, I cannot recall us ever having a complete team. I'm not even saying a complete team of world-class players. I'm saying that I cannot recall a time where you did not see gaping holes in the squad. Mm. Where, you don't have center backs. You don't have center backs you can trust. You don't have but you have plenty of attacking midfielders. You don't have attacking midfielders, but you have strikers. You have strikers, but no wingers. Is the squad, but as bad as it's been, I kind of feel like this current squad has the worst makeup of any Arsenal team I've seen. Because first of all, this team has like, what, 8 central defenders?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why? Why? It makes no, there's no common sense to it. It's like saying that we have 8 central defenders, we have no attacking midfielders, we have no natural wingers. See, the thing is, I like Arteta, right? I'm starting to believe in him less because I'm thinking that as a manager, the first thing you can do is make the best of your available resources. And I don't think he's doing that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that if you're going to compare Arteta to anybody, you should compare him to the manager he learns the most of his short managerial career under, and that's Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola needs certain pieces for it to work. As much of his genius as he is, he spent a ton of money getting that team to be as successful as it was. I remember Pep's first season in England, I think he finished maybe third or fourth, and he took some, I remember a particular game against Leicester, and I'm like, the problem with this team is that these people do not have the IQ to match what their manager is telling them to do. You could see Clichy, Kolarov, Zabaleta, all lost in the formation that was trying to tell them to play.
Oh.
So City went, spent what, close to, I'm sure they spent close to 200 million on fullbacks since, Mendy, Walker, Cancelo, Danilo. Yeah. So the problem is that as much as Arteta is not doing the best he can with this team, right? This team is not, it's not engineered to fit in any sensible pattern. The makeup is too terrible. It doesn't constitute a team. It's 25 players that do not fit. There's no mesh. It's not, I mean, this is the equivalent of having a car without maybe a front left tire or without the steering, or it's not. I mean, as much as Arteta takes a lot of the blame from me for not maximizing the rubbish in quotes that I currently has, the constitution of the squad is not good enough. And the problem is that I don't think the owners are willing to spend as much money as we need to make this happen, to give him a squad that is capable of properly competing. And I think what hurts me the most is that this squad is not cheap. I mean, our wage bill is at a third or fourth in England. But the problem is that we just have too many useless players, too many of the same kind of players. So, I mean, it's going to take a lot of work, and I do not think that if things don't change soon, I don't think that work will be done by Arteta. Sadly, as much as I like him, I don't think he'll be the one. If things don't change soon, if he doesn't find a way to start grinding our results, he would get swept under the fact that this squad is very lopsided.
Okay. I hear a lot of excuses for the manager, or let me not use excuses. I hear a lot of justifications for where the club currently is under Arteta. But personally, I don't feel that the squad is the 15th best squad in the league. I don't think so. I don't think the squad is that he has is, I'm looking at our away table. I don't think based on away form, I'm looking at that. If you look at the table away from home, we are fifth bottom in the league. That's away. If you look at only teams playing away, Man United is at the top of that table with 18 points. We are fifth from bottom with 7 points. If you look at the home table, just a second, let me just click it. I should actually be sharing this with you, with you guys. If you're looking at the home table, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are 8 in the league. Liverpool is at the top with 21 points, and we have 7. This team is not as bad as these stats that I just read to you. It's not. So how much of a responsibility is Arteta, who's the coach of this club, going to take for what he's doing with the squad that he has. Ima, your take.
There's no excusing of what I would not take is anyone trying to excuse Arteta. There's no excusing of Arteta. What I concede that this team is terrible, this team has got to be overhauled, this team is not good enough, this team is not as bad as to be performing at the level they are performing. The performance, one, the results, two, it's just 3 months ago or a few months ago, this team went ahead to win the FA Cup and they win the competition. You're not a terrible team. You can't be a terrible team and then you do that, especially when you went through it the hard way. You have to defeat probably all the biggest boys in the league to do that. Arsenal is not that terrible. So I'm not even going to look at the stats, tell you Arsenal is not that terrible. No, we're not that terrible. I watched the games and I struggle to understand. So based on that, there's no excusing of Arteta.
So the question.
The
question is, which I don't hear you guys answering, is how much of a percentage of what we are going through is his fault? Okay, maybe
I'm not really the guy with numbers. I don't know how to do percentage. But I'll try and answer it in prose. I'm not good with numbers, but I'm good with words. Okay. So I'll try and do words.
Okay.
So this team is not a 15th place. Well, not the 15th best in the league.
Yeah.
This team is not the 15th best in the league. So that is as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
With any other manager, any other situation, this team should probably be between 7th, 8th, 9th,
10th.
But
7th, 8th, 9th.
Yes, at best, this team is 7th place. At best. Let's not even pretend about at best. This team is 7th place team. At best.
Do you know who's currently 5th?
Who?
Southampton.
Okay. I'll see who
is second. Second. I'm actually sharing my screen with you guys now.
Yes. Everton is second, Tottenham is third, Leicester City is fourth,
Southampton is
fifth, Manchester is sixth, Manchester United is seventh, Chelsea is eighth. Now, so Southampton and Everton are having a fantastic season. Everton have done well in terms of overtime, in terms of revamping their squad. That has done well in terms of giving the manager the time to build a culture and the rest of them. Manchester United and Chelsea are not really having the sort of season you expect from them, but they are not far away from what you are looking for. Arsenal is indeed very far away. So if you look at it, Arsenal, ideally with the team they have and the season ongoing, should be in the top 10. That's it. And let me add, on the basis of that, on that alone, it's enough reason to fire the manager. So there's no disguising it. There's no other way to say it. It's enough reason to fire the manager. Now, that's it. I have a question. I think, Simon, you should look at this panel answering.
Yeah.
What does Arsenal Football Club want?
Emma, your audience...
I'm sorry. No, because I think I answered the question that you asked, which is, how much of a responsibility should Arteta take? And I say, for finishing 15th, 100% responsibility. There's no disguising it. You cannot be 15th. It's fact. You cannot be 15th. I don't care. Whatever, you cannot be 15th. Mm-hmm. You cannot give 10%. So 100% responsibility at the time. And if on the basis of that alone, my verdict, fire the manager. Mm. And so, however, I have a question. I think whether now or the truth of this poll, I really think we need to answer is what does Arsenal as a football club, what do we want? And because if I, after reviewing this team, say we are a top 10 team, there's this pain I feel in my heart every time I say it, that a team is a top 10 team. There's a pain I feel in my heart. So if we have agreed as a club, as fans, that we are a mid-table team, then that's fine. So fire Arteta for not being in top 10. But if that's not who we are, then we need to begin to look at the real issues that we have on ground. Where at our best, we are a top 10 team. God help me. I'm done.
Okay. I think we're much better than that based on the score that we currently have. But again, that's my personal opinion. Mo, you're a huge Arteta fan and you're a strong believer in him, and rightly so as well. So I'll come with you with the same question before we move on. How much of a responsibility do you think he has in how we are currently playing? While you're trying to answer that, Damola, just think through this question. When we went through our FA Cup run, basically it was on the back of playing three at the back, two central midfielders. I think it was Ceballos and Xhaka a lot, and then Aubameyang on the left. So from a formation perspective, what has Arteta going to a four at the back, trying to change how the club plays and is not getting a result, how much of that again is his responsibility to get us into a winning way with the formation that actually gives us results? So I'll come to you, Damola, with that question. But Mo, I just want to hear your opinion on how much of responsibility Arteta has, since you're like a big fan of him.
Okay, thank you, Simon. Going through our results lately, and our position on the table, they're unacceptable. You know, like you might rightly say, there's no defending that. You cannot, because you're an Arteta fan or some, or you really like him, defend that. These are indefensible statistics. You know, and even for his number one fan, which I believe I am, I cannot defend that kind of mediocrity, you know, that we're seeing on paper and even on the pitch many a times. But, and the club will be right. If I woke up this morning and I heard that Arteta had lost his job, I don't think Arteta himself or myself would be disappointed, yes, will be, but we can't be angry. The club would be justified at this point in time to wield the axe on Arteta. You cannot, you 100%, you know, these are, that's a sackable run. It's a run that should get any manager sacked, or that can get any manager sacked. But looking at the bigger picture, I just hope we stick with him, you know, and ride through this storm with him. And going to your question, how much of his fault is where we are? I think he takes a large chunk of the blame. I am not one of those who likes to take blame away, because I praise the managers a lot when their clubs win. So when their clubs don't do well, then the bulk is on the manager as well. So Arteta takes a lot of responsibility by way of percentages. I think he takes 70% blame. 70% blame, because he is the one that calls the shots. And I tweeted yesterday that he's in a morass of self-inflicted chaos and confusion. Self-inflicted, because he has caused a lot of his problems himself. Arteta has caused a lot of his problems himself. He came and he said all the right things, you know, the non-negotiables, his meritocracy and all that. And I think he reneged on a lot of those things. I'll give you an example. Playing before lockdown or after lockdown, I think someone like Ainsley Maitland-Niles did very well as a right back or as a wing back, you know. Hector Bellerin comes back from injury. I know his first choice. And I'm not saying Hector has done badly, you know, ever since he came in. He's had some good games. But I don't think there was any justification for dropping Maitland-Niles from that role. I feel if you really are saying the non-negotiables and picking my team on merit and all that, because, and the formation, I'm going to encroach on to Damola's question a little bit. Sorry, Damola, it won't be that much. Talking about the formation change that you talked about, when he used to play three at the back, or when he was playing even four at the back before lockdown, when Mesut Ozil was still in the team, as soon as we were in possession, Maitland-Niles moved into midfield and Kieran Tierney moved up top and Aubameyang moved down centrally. Granit Xhaka now goes to left back and fills in for Kieran Tierney. Now, Maitland-Niles was very comfortable playing that role because anytime we moved into midfield, he was in comfortable territory for himself because that's his natural zone. Now, when Hector Bellerin came back, he brought Bellerin into the team and asked of the same from Bellerin. Now, Bellerin in midfield is like a rabbit in the headlights. He's not comfortable there. You know, so I think Arteta changed a lot of his philosophy, changed a lot of things he believed in to accommodate certain players. And some people have argued about the Ben Leno and Martinez situation as well, that there was no need to sell Martinez, you know, because he had done really well. You're sending the wrong signals to the club, because if Martinez has come in and done really well, then why are you selling me? If you really need money, okay, sell Leno, you know. But I don't believe that he should have kept Martinez and sold Leno as well. But I'm just trying to tell you how those things are perceived. You know, certain players will now think, oh, I've done so well. I think I've done well. Why am I not in the team? Or why have I been the one sold? Why has he sold Martinez? It means you're not rewarding merit, you know. So a lot of them, yes, it's his fault. He has cost a lot of them. And that's why I am still saying we should be patient with this man, because there's a good manager in there. We saw what we played before lockdown, after lockdown. We played some good football, effective football before winning the FA Cup. Someone tweeted yesterday when he showed the goal we scored against Man City, where we made all those passes in the FA Cup for scoring. And he said, where has this Arsenal gone? And you're now looking, it's the same players, it's the same manager. So if they can do this, if this manager can make his team play this way, then there's a good manager there. He's lost his way a bit, but let's get back to that manager. I think, and I saw another tweet yesterday where someone said that, you know, when things are not going well, we have a lot of conspiracy theories and everybody becomes an, everybody has an opinion. Someone said that maybe making Arteta manager from coach was too premature. We have saddled him with too much responsibilities that we should have just allowed him to continue as a coach.
100% again, I agree. 100%
yes, again. Agree. Yeah. Yes, again, that might be true. But like I said, when things are going badly, you know, we always have a lot of opinions. But I think too that it was a bit of a premature move. I mean, what was the point? Oh, he's coached today. You've made him a manager immediately. So mistakes have been made both at the managerial level, board level, and managerial level for Arteta, and that's why sacking him now does not help anybody. Let's not become a coach that's just going to be a revolving door for managers. When they, because these players are, they can down tools. They down tools on Emery. They sit down tools on Wenger at certain times of his career. The only reason Wenger kept on succeeding was because after downing tools, they would look around and say, "Oh wow," they will have to leave Arsenal before Wenger because Wenger was going nowhere. But when they now realize that their bad performances can get a coach sacked, these players are going to start turning it out immediately. They fall out of love with the coach. It happened with Emery. It's going to happen with Arteta. And that's why the club has to back Arteta. He has made a lot of mistakes. I'm not absolving him of blame. And that's why, because those mistakes are self-inflicted, it's not out of, it's not for a want of managerial ability. I've seen what he, we've seen what he did in the run to the FA Cup. So let him get back to that stage. Let him get back to that stage. So sacking him now, we're going to be losing a very good manager who is going to become a very good manager in the future. So let him correct those mistakes and let's ride out the storm with him.
Okay. At least you're the closest to being critical of him, which I think he deserves. Damola, can you come up with that question again? The answer to the question. Three, or your opinion on the question I asked. Three at the back seemed to work well for Arteta, got us the FA Cup, at the beginning of the season, remember at some point at the beginning of the season, we were the best defense in the league. I cannot remember the game, but maybe it was like about game week 6 or 7, about that time when we played Liverpool and we played Man City, and we still had the, considered the, like the least goals in the league, even though we lost those games. We didn't lose those games by huge margins. We were like the best defense in the league. Then we switched to a 4 at the back. We are not playing well and we're shipping in goals. What do you think informed that decision to switch the formation? And why do you think he's persisting with something that is not working?
So, first of all, let me say that I need to get back at Mo for answering a bit of my question. So I'm going to start by answering a bit of his own question. I'll say that as much as I like that, I really do, right?
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of the goodwill he gets, right, is based on that FA Cup run, those first few months, right? And the thing is this, I noticed that human beings in general, when you form an opinion on something, it takes a ridiculous amount of time to change that opinion. So right now, all of us are putting under the assumption that Arteta is a good manager, right? Yeah, I mean, he won the FA Cup. You need to be a good manager to do that. And then we're refusing to change our opinion. So we're making excuses for him. But you know what?
No, if you win the FA Cup in your first 6 months as a manager, you've earned the right for any excuse to be made on your behalf. That is valid.
And I'm saying that it's going to take us a longer time than normal to change our opinion. Yes. Even if that opinion... So let me give you an example, right? You know how... If I ask you that this person, Di Matteo, former Chelsea manager, if I ask you, is he a good coach, what would you say?
No, definitely not.
He won the Champions League, right?
Yeah, but I didn't think he was a good coach at the time he won the Champions League as well. I just felt that he...
I remember that the season after that Champions League win, when results were not going their way and people were saying he will be sacked, I was saying, no, he's a good manager. He needs time. He just won the Champions League. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, you have that data. That's what you want to believe. That's what you believed. And now you're choosing to ignore newer, more recent data.
No. See, let me tell you why people think Arteta is a good coach. And rightly so. I'm not a big fan of him at the moment. But why I think, and he's going to go to the next question I'm going to ask. Why I think people think he's a good coach is because he came to a club that was sinking. The club was shipping in goals. We used to top the table for the most shots conceded. There was something I tweeted at the time. I shared some graphic at the time where the number of goals we conceded after Arteta had came to the club was like 15 goals or something. He sorted out the defense. He changed the structure of how Arsenal were playing. Let's give him credit for that. A lot of change. And so the credit that he gets for being a good coach is not primarily because he won the FA Cup. It's because people saw a complete change in how the team used to play, how the team started to play. And it was a model of his, it was an imprint of his identity into that team. That's what gave him credit as a good coach. And then the FA Cup, he became and topped it. So that's valid. However, I don't want to let you go on answering your question. I just wanted to put that bit in. So go on with your opinion, because we're going to talk about information change here.
Okay, so maybe I should jump into it and then revert to what I was just about to say.
Okay.
So the 3 at the back thing, I think I abandoned it because it just wasn't working. We're not creating our chances. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working. It wasn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And the thing is this, a lot of the time where that 3 at the back worked last season, it worked against proactive teams. Teams are coming out at us. Mm-hmm. Teams are coming out at us. So you play us with a high line. You came to us. We play through you. And all of a sudden, we are running at your defense. Aubameyang is tricking in. Somebody's finding him. He's cutting him. He's shooting. He's scoring.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that people no longer play us that way. Watch our most recent games. People no longer press us as aggressively as they were at the back end of last season.
Yeah.
They no longer do it. So that thing no longer works.
Yeah.
Again, when you are a defense-first team, mm-hmm. right, your best strategy is always counter-attack. That was exactly how Leicester won the league, was it 4 seasons ago?
Mm.
You came at them and they are in your 18-yard box in 5 seconds. The problem is that
that no longer works. It stops working. And then in a bid to, it stopped working because people stopped coming at us. We stopped creating chances. So in a bid to arrest that, and I was one of the people that said, I didn't think before the back was this sustainable strategy for Arsenal going forward. I cannot think of, I'm struggling to name any non-Italian team that is very successful with Serie A back. I don't know if anybody can help me.
There was Chelsea, like, Chelsea under, what's his name?
Yeah, Chelsea Coach under Conte. Conte is an Italian manager, so I mean, yeah. they are experts at doing it. But I'm saying that it stops working and then Arteta hasn't been able to find what works. But you know the funny thing? I don't think that our problem is a formation problem. When I look at it, I think it's a, first and first, it's a personnel problem. In that, if you look at the number of times that we have a huge, we just, everybody's passing to each other. Xhaka to Ceballos, Ceballos to Bellerin, Bellerin back to Luis, Luis to Tierney. There's nobody taking responsibility for driving the ball forward. And I think that Partey is a bigger loss than people think. In fact, the only Arsenal content I reckon with now is I just regularly Google Thomas Partey to see what day is coming back. Our midfield is so passive that we don't have, without Partey, we don't have a non-passive midfield combination. Ceballos, Xhaka, Elneny, maybe Willock if you want to be, you want to be extra. We don't have in, we don't have anybody that has the audacity to carry the ball and drive with it. We don't. So it means that we don't cause any chaos for the opposition. They can stay in their defensive shape and they will pass it side to side. They will do an overlap and they will cross. For God's sake, Arteta has turned us to a cross and nod team. The problem is that we have no players that can nod. It's ridiculous. I don't know why he's trying it. In fact, I feel like if anything upsets me about what we're trying to do now, is the fact that we are trying to, Arteta was saying, we put in 33 crosses in the box. Like, that's a good thing. We could, it's spam. Is junk. It's junk formation. It's not going to work. There is no amount of, I mean, we are not even saying go to the byline and cut back. We are doing proper crossing like we have the Giroud in our team. We don't. Aubameyang is, like I said, are never going to get on. Why are you crossing the ball against Burnley? Burnley eats crosses for lunch. That is what they do all day. That is, I'm sure that's what they do in training. Why are you crossing the ball against Southampton? Vestergaard is like, what, 6'4"? You are never going to win anything against them like that.
Or Mina, so, again, or Mina, Everton.
Or Gary Mina. Like, what joy are you going to get with in Ketia? And again, but the biggest thing I noticed, the biggest change in Arsenal from back in the last season to this season is, where is the aggression? I need you to go back and watch games from last season and watch the games that we are losing currently. There is zero aggression. Like, people don't hunt the ball. So again, there are times when, and I can't remember now, but there are goals we've considered recently where we have 8 people behind the ball, right? But they are all so passive, right? That somebody crosses the ball, somebody knows it, and that's it. Nobody is going to the man with the ball. They are all content to sit behind the ball, no pressure on the man on the ball. And then I'm like, how did we become this from what we were last season? Last season, we're hunting people down, we're chasing lost causes, we're entering 50-50s. Now we're not doing any of it. So even when we defend it.
Damola, can I come in there just a bit?
Okay.
Now when you make that point, it's very vital. And this is what I was telling people about players downing tools. When you say a player downs tools, it doesn't mean that he will not come and play anymore. But the extra mile, the extra thing he will do that you will see when he wants to give 100%, he wouldn't do it. And only the forensic eye can pick it out, like you have picked it out now. When Emery came on board, I remember we lost our first game against Man City. We lost the second game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But I was not disappointed because I could see Arsenal boys chasing every lost cause.
I remember too.
Yes, they were chasing lost causes. And the only grudge we had, one of the main grudges we had under Arsenal was that players used to get away with not trying. Emery came and all of a sudden, bam, the players were chasing down balls, doing everything. And they did that for majority of Emery's first season till towards the back end. And then the next season came and all of a sudden, for reasons best known to them, they may have lost faith in the manager or they didn't like him. They stopped it. They stopped trying and our game became pedestrian. It's happening with Arteta.
When let, Arteta, let,
There was a time I tweeted. There was a game I tweeted. I don't know. I think it was the Man City semi-final clash in the FA Cup. And there was a break. And Xhaka ran the length of the pitch and ended up making the block. And I tweeted that I never knew Xhaka could move that fast. Now, that was a player who was given 100%. Now, if Xhaka doesn't make that sprint today and we concede a goal, and I tell you that Xhaka could have made that run and prevented that goal, you would say, do you want him to climb an Okada to go and make that run? So those are the kind of things. And it's happening again. It's happening with Arteta. It will happen with the next coach. So these players need to know that they will get out of the club before the manager does. Because if we open that revolving door of changing coaches to the whims and caprices of players' wishes, then we are in for a long run. Because Arsenal are not a club who are going to... Roman Abramovich used to do it with Chelsea. He sacked Roberto Di Matteo when they were third on the table, 4 points off the top, after winning the Champions League. I still believe it was a wrong move, but they got him out and they got another coach in. And once another coach didn't do well, they kept on sacking coaches till they got it right. But they have the funds and the resources to do that. You sack Arteta today, you bring another coach. At the end of the day, somebody like Pochettino hit the roadblock at Tottenham because there was only so much his technical know-how could do. He needed to go to the next level, and the club were not doing that for him. So this thing, like you rightly said earlier, there's a good manager in Arteta. We have seen it. So why do we need to get rid of him? Because we have seen some bad traits that have crept into the team, basically on his own side and on the side of players. We need to be careful here. This is the time to have the right thinking head on. Emotions are at the top now. Everybody says, has Arteta been sacked yet and all that? But always look at the bigger picture. Take a distance, like Arsene will say, from the situation and evaluate properly. Because sacking this man is not going to take us anywhere. Nowhere. I would have said sack him if I had not seen anything in Arteta that would convince me that he's a good coach. But the run last season, like Simon rightly said, he changed the way we play. When he came, this team was in decline. He arrested that, gave us an effective way of playing football. And then even the start of this season, when we went to Fulham, swept Fulham aside. Yes, they're a poor side, but wow, look at how effective we were. Imagine if we kept that up for all those games that we have lost at home now. Nobody will be complaining. You know, so there's a good manager in there. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have to be very careful. It's a critical time for the club, and we need to get it right.
Okay. Mo, thanks. So I agree with Mo in that, yes, all of that has disappeared. All of the intensity, all of the aggression has disappeared. But my problem is that why I don't agree is that I don't agree the players down in tools. I just think that Arteta doesn't insist on it anymore. Because to be honest, if we're going to believe that thing he said about non-negotiables, being aggressive in a football game should be a non-negotiable. If you cannot do it, then let's get in some player. Let's get in. Play now. If Willian can down tools, if the senior players can down tools, play the junior boys. I don't think Nelson has the profile of a player that can say no to whatever the coach says. Play Nelson, play Willock, play Saka, play people that they don't have a profile, they are not humble, hasn't gotten their head yet, they're not getting big money yet. Play them, let them play the way you want them to play. The problem is that it's not only in the defensive phase. I need you guys to watch Arsenal when we try to build up from the back now and they don't press us anymore. There was a point yesterday, Holding held the ball. Nobody was showing for a pass. And he just stopped. Like, he literally just stopped in the middle of the game. And we're down maybe 1-0. And I'm like, what kind of madness is this?
Why would they press you for the ball when they know that you can bring the ball to their own third and then you will have no idea what to do?
And you have no players to unlock them. Yes. So, again, why? Right? I agree with the opposition. They're playing us right. They're playing us the exact way they should play us. If you do not have a creative player, then it's up to me to go and pack my... Look at the games we lost. Look at the games we lost at the back end of last season. Aston Villa, they packed the bus against us. We didn't have a solution to it. Brighton, I'm trying to remember which other one we lost. Was that it? People will pack the bus against us. And even from last season, we didn't have a solution to it. So once that our newfound way of depress us, we break through the alliance and run at them doesn't work.
Let me just give some. I'm sharing the screen with you guys again. Bad podcasting, but maybe I'll just put the video as well. I'm sharing the day where, or like my data page with you guys. It's basically data from Opta. And it's just, I'm just trying to validate everything that you guys have been saying. So I'm sorting this table by one ball due to pressure, just to speak about the amount of pressure we're putting. So we're 12th in the league, and then we're 128.9 balls due to pressure. Then if you, so we're 12th, obviously we're bad at that now. We're no longer doing it. Tackles in the attacking third, that's, we're like the goal that Nketiah got, I think it was Southampton last season, where he basically stole the ball from the goalkeeper and then got it, because yes, he basically went into the tackle. We are fifth from the bottom with 18 in the league.
So my question is that, where did all of that go?
One second, let me just clear this sort, and then I'll tell you who we have for company in that position. One second. Tackles in attacking third, I would sort this by descending. Apologies to everybody who's listening, but I just want to validate what these guys are saying. And this data of Opta, we are 16th in the league. Tackles in the attacking third, and we have made just 18. Who we have for company? Newcastle United, 17. West Ham, 17. Man United, 17. And then Wolves, 16. We're not even just doing it anymore. So where did all of that go?
That exactly.
So that's what I'm saying. When you guys want to make it seem like it's the same manager we had last season that we had now. If that same manager cannot make the players that he has do the same thing that he was doing last season, and get
the so the question is this:
it's not a personal issue; it's him.
Okay, Simon, you know, I think we are missing something here.
Okay.
And Toby made a very valid tactical analysis.
Toby is not important.
Sorry. Demola.
Yeah.
Now, I had started his reign with a distinct tactics, which was allow the opponent to have the ball.
Yeah.
Come at you. You sit deep, sit compact, hit them. Now, so I'm going to bring some little context. Now, that is not how he wants to play. That is not his ideal, but that was what he could do with the personnel he had. And we all agree that Arsenal suddenly moved from being one of the worst defensive team to the best. Arsenal at some point became the best defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
And fantastic. And so it was working. Now, because it is a competition, your rivals are not dumb, they're not zombies. They will adapt.
Mm-hmm.
The rivals adapted. So listen, dude, this team, if we refuse to come at them, if we sit back and allow them, they don't have what it takes to unlock us.
Exactly.
That's last season. They don't have what it takes to unlock us.
Mm.
And Brighton and Aston Villa test run that thing, and it worked. Now, so Damola saw it, Emmanuel saw it, Simon saw it, Mohammed saw it. I do not want to think that Ata did not see it, Eddie did not see it, and the rest of them did not see it. So the only way you could transit was now get a team that could, if your opponent decides to do an Aston Villa and sit back, or an Everton yesterday and sit back, you have the personnel to unlock them.
Mm-hmm.
If your opponent decides to do a Man City or a Liverpool or a Chelsea and come at you, you have the personnel to sit, wait for them to come and unlock them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is we have a team that can sit, wait for people to come at us and unlock them. But we don't have a team that can unlock people when they sit. And most of the teams we have played this season, even the ones we have bet that are better than us, have started to allow us have, Spurs did it, but all of them did it, allow us have the ball, and because they know we have no clue what to do in the final third.
Oh.
So I have a question.
Another thing is this, right? I kind of feel like people make a general mistake that to be defensive, right, you need to play defense and attacking are... They are two distinct parts of the game.
Yeah.
To defend, you do not need to play a group of defensive players to be defensive. In fact, all you need to do is be in the right position and hustle hard. Hmm. Like, I want to give you an example. Sorry, I'm using sports as an example on an Arsenal podcast. But the sports team that attacks against a smaller team, right? And the sports team that pack the bus against Arsenal or Chelsea or City are the exact same personnel.
Yeah.
Kane, his son, is maybe Bergwijn or Lucas Moura, is Højbjerg, is Soko, is same guys. The only difference is that when they're in defensive shape, they defend. They chase the ball, they hustle, they get back in shape. The problem is that when we defend, we are now too passive. So all we want to do is throw people behind the ball. We do not go and engage the person on the ball. We just want to throw people in front of our box and then hope for the best. And when we are attacking, we do not have the tools to unlock people anymore. When Leicester played us, I'm pretty sure they had both Maddison and Tielemans on the field. Maddison and Tielemans are more creative than anybody that is currently registered to play in the Premier League for Arsenal. But when they use them in defensive, they know their jobs. The problem is that now we have a defensive team that is passive. We are passive in defense. And now when we attack, we have no tools to unlock anybody. The fact that we start...
I like the choice of words you're using.
I really like that, because if you see what I'm sharing as well, completed passes.
All we have to say is the league table.
It's not showing.
Oh, sorry. So you guys haven't been seeing what I've been sharing. I apologize. I should share my whole... This is bad Zoom. If you're ever in Zoom, this is what happens when you... I apologize. This is what happens when you're on Zoom and then you want to pretend to your boss that you're focused on work. So you don't share your whole desktop. You share only the screen that you know your boss can look at. And then you're doing some other stuff on the side. So I'm used to doing that.
Before you go and show your boss your podcast, your proper job.
Or you know this kind of thing, you're on Zoom and then like somebody's chatting you on the side and then your chat pops up, like your Microsoft Teams, and your chat pops up and everybody can see it. So you're trying to present that.
That's what I'm talking about. if you are talking to your colleague, I'm visiting your boss.
Exactly. So everybody just make sure we don't share the whole screen. We only share the part that you want your boss to see. Okay, apologies. I'm sharing the whole screen now. Anyways, that's on a lighter note. So Damola, what you were talking about was all that passiveness that we carry in front. I'm just going to show you some stats to show that completed passes that led to a short attempt, and this is up to stats. Arsenal is currently 16th on that league with 155. Who we have for company? Newcastle United, 131. Sheffield United, who are bottom of the league, 140. West Brom, who are just going to be relegated with Sam Allardyce, 119. And Burnley, who are also bottom and still beat us, 116. That's the company that we have. Completed passes that led to a short attempt. So basically, we have passes, and then we take it to the side with Saka or Willian, cross the ball to nobody, and then it just comes back. So can I continue from where I stopped?
I was saying that Toby was using some very important choice of words, tools, and the rest of them. I like us to flow from last season to this season. It's important. Let's not miss it. Now, Toby mentioned...
why is it what? Damola?
Sorry, Damola. I wish Toby was here because I wanted to kill him. Now, Damola mentioned sports. And I like us to do comparison. Simon is the data man. I do more of what I see with my eyes. Spurs weren't this efficient last season. They weren't.
Yeah.
They were having that transition problem, transiting from defense to attack.
The man just dropped Dele Alli and took Harry Kane back, and it's changed.
It's important we know that it is one thing to have a clarity of what you want to do, but as much as you have clarity, if you don't have the right tools, you may struggle. Now, the right tools may be as much as one extra tool. It may be just one extra tool. It may be moving one personnel from this place to the other place. It may be two extra tools. You know, I see people do a lot of this comparison about Everton, about Tottenham. I saw a tweet that somebody said that last season, Everton finished behind Arsenal. Now, in the summer, Everton went ahead and got the right tools that Kalu needed. Oh. It does not matter if these tools cost one penny or they cost a billion.
Oh.
They went ahead and got the right tools they needed. So let me go back to Arsenal. So last season, we started well with the sit deep, sit compact, and then hit on the break. And we relied largely on the fact that when Tierney pushed up, Xhaka fills up that tall defensive role and they could play between the lines. Xhaka and Luis were our best creative players. So they could, because these guys could hit long balls over the top or through the line. And then they found our wingers who were running, or Bamayan who was running behind players. And then now it couldn't work again because teams now sat deep. So there was no high line press from teams. They sat deep. Automatically, it was useless to have Xhaka and Luis play either those balls over the top or between the lines because there was no lines to play through. The people were sitting deep and compact. The same way people couldn't play balls over the top or through the lines against us last season. Oh. We are now in that position. Now, we don't have the tools to switch. Now, I know I said it earlier in this pod, that Arteta granted an interview when he said that to play the way he wanted to play, we had about six positions that didn't have the players to do it.
Oh.
Now, let's come back again. If we needed to adapt, so I'm wondering, if we need to adapt with this team, if we need to adapt with this team, which are the tools we have to break a low block? So I saw us yesterday against Everton. In the second half, Everton ran out of ideas of what to do. They started to sit deep. We had so much of the position. We played better in the second half. And, you know, emotions will allow us to admit it. We played better in the second half. But one thing was glaring. We didn't have the players to unlock the low block that Everton had. The few times we got behind them, you could also see that there isn't that player with that understanding of hitting the final pass. In the first half, we had so many times players got behind the Everton defense in the wide areas, and there was nobody in the 18-yard box. Nobody, like nobody, absolutely nobody in the 18-yard box. So, as much as I do not think there's any excuse for Arteta as an individual, it is, we can say at the same time that we have a terrible, lopsided squad that can't adapt in situations. It's a glaring truth that unless we are fixated on one thing, Arteta, we have to admit.
Okay.
If we get a new manager, we get Muamali, we get Damola, we get Simon, do we have the players to unlock a low block from a Premier League team? No, we don't. Do we have the tools? No, we don't. And this is the problem I think we have. So at the end of last season, was there an analysis, was there a review of to say, this is what we did, this is what we need, this is how teams will react. So if teams sit low, what do we do? And I put into cognizance the fact that there had been an agreement that Mesut Ozil would not be a part of our team going forward. So what do we do? I don't want to believe that there was that meeting, because if there was that meeting and we are here, then there's a bigger problem than we think. If we say there was not that meeting, I understand that there was no planning. But if we say that there was that meeting and we are here, then we have a bigger problem than we are thinking.
Okay.
Because without missing one, and this is where I think you, Simon, should do a job on the Arsenal team. Do stats. Arsenal has got 8 center defenders.
Oh.
8 center defenders. Arsenal has got a total registered in the list of, is it 25 or 30 or whatever the register now? Arsenal has got 16 defensive players. Now, of that 16, only one is dynamic enough to be able to break lines. And that is the one we just got, Partey, without a precision or whatever. Only one. Now, so how do you intend to break, what was the plan to break down a team with a low block, which many teams realized was the antidote to Arteta's strategy to beat them? Now, if the manager has said, and he has said it consistently over time, that this is the way to go, I need to play a 4-3-3. The moment you say you want to play a 4-3-3, it was glaring he wants to play an expressive, expansive football. So, when I say that there's something wrong with us as a team, from head to bottom, it is glaring. So, if we are thinking, like Mo said, that we want to do it in the long haul, so we want to do the small instrumental payment or instrumental plan for the long haul, okay, then nobody should be crying now. Let us enjoy it. It's a long haul. But if we decide today to sack Arteta, which he has earned the sack, if he has earned the sack, don't put the next manager on through this torture again. If you want to get results now, then do what people do to get results now. But if you want to do the long haul, then don't fire the manager. If you agree to do a long haul and do Partey 1 year, Partey and Gabriel 1 year, two under next year, under two next year. So it takes us 3 years to get the six the manager said he wants. And by the time we get that six, the other five are supposed to requirements. We'll do another 10 years to replace that five. You see, you can't have it both ways.
Ima, just to comment on that as well, and why I think.
Simon, can I come in before I lose track of what I wanted to say?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take it from what Damola was saying earlier about Arsenal. He has never seen an Arsenal team complete. We have always been 2-3 players away from where we want to be, and that's why I've always talked about context. We have to be contextual in every analysis we're making, because this is what it is, unfortunately. Like you must say, instrumental plans, you know, because if we needed six players this season and we've bought two. Now, talking about what Ima was saying about Arteta wanting to play 4-3-3 and it was clear he wanted expansive football. Just cast your mind back to the difference Partey brought to the team once he played. At Old Trafford, Partey was playing and the guy did not even break into second gear, but he was strolling around the pitch like a gazelle. The amount of times he beat his man and moved forward. And when you beat your man, what people do not understand, when you beat your man, it means you have taken one man out of the game. You beat the second man, you have taken two people out of the game. Now, if you look at the whole of Arsenal's central midfield today, Granit Xhaka cannot beat a man to save his life. He does not have the legs to break through and pass and run past the man. So the only thing Xhaka does is to pass the ball. Yes, he has a good passing range. I can't take that away from him. But when teams are well organized, that good passing range is rubbish. Because if I stand and I position myself against my marker, against the person I'm marking properly, no matter how good the pass is, he's not going to get to him. So that's how limited we are. Elneny cannot run. He has no legs. He can't dribble. Xhaka cannot run. He's got no legs. He can't dribble. So you now look at that whole mission. Ceballos is as slow as Elneny. He has a bit of more creativity in him, but he cannot beat his man and do anything reasonable as well. So once Partey came into that game at Old Trafford, and Elneny had the best game of his Arsenal career in Old Trafford. Elneny had that game because he had Partey beside him. Elneny has gone back to the Elneny we know ever since Partey left. Because that's how good Partey is. He will not only make the team good, he will make the players around him good. And when you are now looking at the Arsenal team, what we lack today is a player that can force the issue. You look at the Liverpool team, for instance. I'll use Liverpool. Liverpool have got no creative midfielder in their team. They play with Jordan Henderson and Dutch boy? Wijnaldum. Gigi Wijnaldum. These are not creative players. They are workers. They are workaholics. But then you wonder how they score their goals and how their creative spark comes in there. Liverpool have got players, they have got Mane on the left, they've got Salah on the right. These are players that can beat their man and take players out of the game. We have Aubameyang on the left and Pepe on the right. Aubameyang's game is not to beat his man. Aubameyang plays, he's a predator of a striker. So how many times have you seen Aubameyang beat his man like Mane will do? Mane will beat one man, beat the second man, and the moment he does that, he creates an overload for Liverpool because he's taking two players out of the game. Aubameyang passes in front of his defenders and tries to run in behind for you to give him the final ball. We have Pepe, who instead of, he has all it takes to beat his man, but he will keep the ball, move, shift it to his left, shift it to his right. At the end, he will pass it back to Xhaka in midfield. He's not beating his man. So this is why we have the whole of Arsenal, when we're playing, the defenders are right in front of us and we're passing side to side. Nobody is forcing the issue. The only player that does it, and anytime he does it, you can see that that's where chances come from. Saka is the only player that takes the ball today and tries to run at his man and beat his man. I was a big fan of Alexander Klebb at Arsenal because Alexander Klebb will beat 2-3 players. And like I said earlier, the whole idea behind beating players is that you take them out of the game. When he does that, Fabregas runs into position. He passes to Fabregas. Fabregas releases Adebayo. Bam, Arsenal has scored goal. So the importance of such a player cannot be overemphasized. Right now, we have none. And if Partey had been playing, we would have survived. Like the game against Burnley, for instance, like the game yesterday, we may have done better if Partey had played. Because like Ima said, the tools for what we want to play are not there. And whose fault is that? Did Arteta tell the board and the board did not listen to him? Or did the board say, or did Arteta think he did not need any of those players? Be that as it may, all I know is that lessons have been learnt, bitter ones. And honestly, going forward, those things have to be addressed because we overrate our players a lot. I told people long time ago, I said, Granit Xhaka, you would not know he is not good enough till we have someone to come and play this role. It has not taken 3 games for Partey to show what we have been lacking. You cannot play central midfield. You can't run. You do not have the legs to run. You do not have the ability to beat your man. The only thing you have is a passing range. Okay, tell me where Granit Xhaka will pass the ball to when Burnley have 9 men behind the ball, standing in front of their 18-yard box. Where is he passing the ball to? You need to be able to be more dynamic. And right now, we have none. The midfield is totally poor. Ceballos, Granit Xhaka, Elneny. These guys cannot start in many teams in the Premiership. That's the truth. So when we have those players and we keep on arguing, oh, the coach, like you must say, if you bring another coach and you put him through this torture, we'll be calling for a sack after a year.